AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
The more folks that we can get understanding what we're trying to do, the bigger impact we can have on agriculture at large.
Welcome to AgBioScience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Frazier.
Welcome back to AgBioScience. Food is the only economy in the world that touches every person on the planet. We are all connected to food, and one of the world's top marketers turned entrepreneurs is now making the connection between farms, food, and people. He joins us now. Welcome, Scott Nelson, CEO of Make Hay, to the AgBioScience podcast. Scott, it's great to see you.
Hey, great to see you. Thank you for having me, Mitch. I really appreciate it.
Well, we have a lot to uncover. You have such an incredible story, Scott, your time at Panera to your time founding this company. But I think we have to start with the problem. There is this gap that exists between food, farm, and people. What is that gap? How do you see that gap? And where is there opportunity in that?
I think there's a gap because of the world that we live in. And the world that we live in demands knowledge and insights and just wanting to know more and more about what you're putting into your body. So there's just a consumer out there in a world that knowledge is key and knowledge is king. And today's consumer wants more information, period. Regardless of food or whatever category you're in, they want more information. And typically they can get the information that they need. Social media, digital, you name it, they can get it, right? And so there's been a gap because we haven't closed that gap. And now we're closing that gap because you have consumers raising their hand saying, I need more information from you, which then puts a responsibility on the brands to answer that demand for more information, which then hopefully just starts to fill that gap, right? From consumer to the producer, the farmer, the grower, et cetera, growing that food that you're putting into your body.
It is a fascinating gap as you describe it, because absent information, information will fill it, right? People will connect dots, whether those dots should be connected or not. You've seen conflict emerge. I mean, you professionally have seen where that gap exists. Information will fill it, right, wrong, or indifferent. How is that conflict, and how do you see overcoming that conflict with information?
I'll mention the Panera days. The overcoming of that gap and that the friction that you're talking about, the answer for me is transparency. And the more that I can be transparent with my customer, with my consumers, the more we're going to have less of that friction. And so that's really what we did years ago at Panera. We were the first to really do transparency at scale because we were listening to our customer, to our consumer, saying, I want to know where that romaine lettuce in my green gotta salad comes from. Right. And so becoming more of a transparent brand, company, supply chain is only going to help with that friction.
I think often we hear it, certainly in the production ag side, and you could argue ag tech as well. All these things need to happen. People want more transparency. They want traceability. They want trackability. But no one wants to pay for it. Right. I mean, this is one of the challenges of why that gap doesn't get filled. You have taken an approach that was really founded on your days at Panera to solving, how do you create economics to make that transparency possible?
Yeah, how do you drive that premium nature of the brand so you can actually do what you need to be doing from the economic side of it? But while also telling that story, that will hopefully elevate the entire experience around what I'm consuming and putting into my body. And telling those stories, which we did very well during those days at Panera. And then fast forward years later, here we are at Make Hay, and just trying to kind of amplify and extend that idea of transparency, but then also close that gap, as you're alluding to.
We have to spend time on Panera.
Yeah.
So you pioneered. I think pioneered is the very best verb I can put to this. Pioneered this idea of showcasing this connection between people and the produce and the products they consume. Walk us back through that journey. Again, as the pioneer, you're the guy saying, hey, this doesn't exist. It should exist. There had to be people along the sidelines saying, Scott, you're crazy. Scott, we're not going to do that. You did it. Walk us through that.
Yeah, so I would say that I was not the pioneer. The gentleman that founded the brand, Ron Shaich, an amazing pioneer himself, he created Fast Casual. He was the guy that really started it all. I was just thankful to come in at a place in time when Panera really needed to kind of look into the digital world and the social world and all of that. They'd been very traditional with like billboards and radio ads and TV commercials like any other player in that scene. But I was brought in around the platform. So the platform was 100% clean food. Food as it should be. That was everything that we did. So I was, yes, one of the architects around advancing that into the digital age. It was fascinating to do. And to your point, there were a lot of folks that'd be like, what are you talking about, Scott? Like, what right. What is that? Who is that? Why would we partner with them? Like, what are you doing? And So thankfully, I had the trust of in the executive team to kind of do what I needed to do in order to kind of realize that vision around advancing this idea of transparency into different places with different customers, et cetera. A couple of things that we did that were fascinating. We created a series called Food Interrupted. And Food Interrupted was a 6-part series. We partnered with Huffington Post, Facebook Watch, and brought in different topics. So we did a topic around like plant-based eating. We did a thing around sugars and type 2 diabetes. We did a thing around animal welfare. We did all sorts of different things. We did a thing about urban farming and brought in different personalities. But nonetheless, it was an amazing just kind of look at, let's try to look at the food system at large, bring up those topics that are relevant and trending right now in culture, provide a point of view, but also exposure to the end consumer around what we believe in and what we hope they believe in and want to know more about. That series itself got nominated for an Emmy. Now, there's not a lot of food restaurant brands that are getting nominated for Emmys, but I'm not sitting here bragging about that. I'm more really admire the work that the team did to bring that to life because it was work that mattered around what we our core mission was at Panera. One last thing that we did was kind of really interesting for what we were doing at the time is, again, transparency. So we brought kind of the cameras and our own cameras and our camera phones back into the kitchens. And we showed our consumer how that salad was made. We showed them where the ingredients were coming. We showed what it meant to bake the bread every morning at 3 a.m. We showed who some of our chefs were and some of the backline workers, if you will. And so, again, just like opening up the kitchen, we called it behind the counter. And just transparency at all levels.
I think the important piece here is that connection, the education, dare I say entertainment, all of that really critical to create this magnet, but it only matters if you can convert that attention into action, i.e. sales. What were some of the metrics? I mean, you go launch this program, you go make this connection between people and food and how it's made. Did you see an increase in revenue?
So you look at the engagement rates, you know, across digital. One thing that we really looked at when we started to do a lot of this work was sentiment analysis. Like, what is their point of view on you? Like, what are they thinking about you? Or is it positive, neutral, negative? Whenever we do a lot of this work, it would just spike positive. Like, people loved when Panera did stuff like that. It was just like reassuring and they just loved it. You also saw our loyalty membership increase. We already had the largest in the US. So we had like 35 million when I was there. It's probably over 60 now. Like, crazy, amazing loyalty program at Panera. And so when we do programs and platforms and different things like I'm alluding to, we'd see an increase in loyalty, which then leads to hopefully increase in check size, right? Which then hopefully leads to increase in revenue. So all of these initiatives helped, you know, drive the scaling of the brand in different ways and shapes and forms. So yeah, it helped the bottom line.
I love the idea of scaling. We're going to dig into how does this scale into other parts of the ag bioscience economy. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
From berries to dairies, from crop advisors to data analyzers, Indiana Farm Bureau is at the forefront of the top issues impacting Indiana agriculture. No matter your role in the ag industry, Indiana Farm Bureau membership means you'll always have a champion and an advisor. And because so much of your time is focused on your own enterprise, it's also good to know Indiana Farm Bureau is always working to fight for the future of agriculture. We come together to advocate for rural viability, the protection of property rights, competitive tax policies, and against burdensome regulations. Whether our members need a door opened, an impact in public policy, or an ally to strengthen their communities, Indiana Farm Bureau is there. We are the unified voice for all agriculture.
To learn more about the benefits of Indiana Farm Bureau membership, go to infb.org.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience, talking with Scott Nelson, CEO of Makehay. Scott, we were just talking about how you scaled impact with connectivity and content at Panera. Now at Makehay, you're once again serving in a pioneer role, pioneering a technology to connect brands and producers together. Talk about the work that you're doing and maybe make some connections back to those days at Panera.
Makehay started with a fellowship at Purdue University called Dial Ventures. I was brought in. They bring in about 5 to 7 people a year. Your job is to look at agribusiness at large and figure out where the pain points exist, right? So that's where it started. It's a 7-month program. It's pretty intense. A lot of validation, a lot of insights, conversations. You're out in the fields. We're in the fields of Indiana and Minnesota and Illinois, and you're getting to know the producers. You're getting to know their story. And one of the things I kept hearing, Mitch, was, you know, from a lot of these farmers, Scott, I have an amazing story to tell. Yeah. I just don't know how to tell it. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. But what happens on my land every day is fascinating, and I wish more people knew about it. I kept hearing this over and over and over and over, and I heard it. Obviously, we did work at Panera that was around our sourcing and around our growers and all that. But like now I'm really hearing it in a different form and years later. Then put on my digital and social media hat and I go to the world of digital. I start looking and I look at all the farming based content, origin based content, food sourcing content. And I knew enough to be dangerous from my Panera days, but like I'm like seeing amazing engagement and just lots of eyeballs on this agricultural based content. These farmers in the middle of Iowa, Minnesota, on the West Coast, wherever, doing their craft, just bringing people into the world of farming. And I thought it was fascinating. I'm like, interesting. But what I also saw was like a lot of them weren't like monetizing that content, right? It was just tons of eyeballs, but they weren't monetizing. And that's not a bad thing. They just wanted to tell their story to folks. But for me as a marketer and as just kind of a brand business leader, I was like, there's something interesting there. Because what we also heard, Mitch, was a secondary revenue stream. Anything that you can do right now to provide secondary revenue stream, a little bit extra money into my pocket without me leaving the farm, go for it, Scott. So I had that in the back of my head too. And then the last thing that I kind of was thinking about when I was in this fellowship was I've been a part of a lot of marketing departments, some very big, some very small. I spent 10 years in the sneaker business, right? For Nike Inc., Converse, Adidas. Sneakers are fun. You have fun budgets. You do a lot of interesting stuff. You hire fancy agencies and it's a lot of fun. But anyhow, like I've seen different types of marketing organizations and how they go about creating content. And even in my Panera days and thereafter, I've always just thought there's got to be a better way to create content. Because in today's world, brands, no matter how big you are or small you are, you can't keep up with the amount of content that is needed as a brand to stay relevant and top of mind, et cetera. So how do we create a piece of software, a piece of technology that can enable brands to create content more efficiently, raw, real, authentic, et cetera? So Mitch, I had all those things in my head, you know, when I'm going through this thing. And so again, going back to you, so it all started with food transparency at scale and this thing that's always been in my head for years that consumers want to know more and they have a right to know. How do we enable that? And then I got farmers raising their hands saying, I have a story to tell, right? And then I got the digital space ripe for it. And then I got, how do I create efficiencies for modern day marketing departments? So we put all that together and created this lovely company called Makehay.
It is an incredible story and one that, hindsight being what it is, you look back and go, oh, well, yeah, this ties to this, ties to this. No way you could have known it going through it. As you're now going out, you're talking with end producers, whether it be restaurants, whether it be stores, you're talking with actual farm producers, folks on farm, growing crops. What are the reaction from both of them? What are you hearing from both sides of that equation?
Like I said, the farmers were all in it. And there's a little bit of skepticism. It's like, oh, here we are. Here's another like technology company that says they're going to like solve everything here on my land and whatnot. And what is this like social media? What is this digital, you know, all of that? So there's a little bit of caution. But I will say being a part of Purdue and High Alpha even down the road, like you get access to the farm gate and there's some initial trust because of that respect for Purdue and all these other organizations that, you know, that were that happily were tied to. So we got pretty good access. So what I wanted to do with that side of it was like bring them in and help them develop the product with me. So our first 3 months, we brought in all sorts of different farmers from different crops, from different regions of the U.S. and said, here's what we're building. Like, here's a brief. Here's this. Try to upload content. And so we basically had farmers help us build this thing because we realized if like they're not going to use it, we're not going to get the CPGs and the Paneras and all these other brands and the retailers using. Like, if farmers don't want to use this thing, we're dead in the water. So we started first with the farmer. And so we built this product with the farmers. Okay. So that was number one. That was key. Number two is, okay, so now the subscriber part of it. So I'm a brand, I subscribe to this thing, right? By the way, farmers don't pay anything to be a part of this. It's all on the brands and the companies that subscribe to this thing. And so with them, we've just recently built the dashboard. So we've probably been on the, you know, street ready, if you will, for about 2 months. But again, it was important for me to get that farmer side of it right and perfect. So now I can go out and have these conversations. Oh yeah, we have great producers on this thing. And look at this, look what they're talking about over here. Look at the content over here. This is what it looks like. So to answer your question, I think you got the response from the farmer. The response from the other side of it is really interesting. Never seen anything like this before. Very niche, very unique. Love the idea of creating more efficiencies for our brand and our departments. We absolutely need that. Love the idea of using this platform to tell different stories that we might not have told. Love it for maybe telling some of those regen ag practices or those sustainability things that we're doing as a company that probably need a little bit more consistent, always on, like, storytelling. So we've received lots and lots of interest, of course, but for lots and lots of different use cases and scenarios and reasons and whatnot. So we're having a ball. We got a product out on the market. We're live. We have 4 paying customers right now, which
Congrats.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Not too long into it. And again, we're leveraging those customers to really help build out that brand side. So then we can start going to the big, 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 big ones. But we're being very strategic and purposeful around who we surround ourselves with as we build this thing.
When you think about those four paying customers today, there have to be stories. There have to be stories in your interactions with them, in interactions with farmers, where you're just like, this, we've done it. Like, this is actually working.
I'll tell you, our very first customer is the most unique and abnormal, probably, that I never thought they would be our customer. So they're named Delon Animal Healthcare, and they have developed the world's first vaccine for bees. Around like deformed wing virus, right? Which infects all these different hives. And so it's a major issue for beekeepers around the world. So this amazing startup, who's a darling and gets covered by all sorts of, you know, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, they came to us and said, hey, we got this amazing vaccine. We need to increase awareness, but we need beekeepers talking about it. Can you get us some beekeepers? And I'm like, I never even thought of this, but yeah, let's test this out. So we went out and found a bunch of beekeepers, bee hobbyists, got them on the platform. They created content and they're already testing the content and it's performing amazing. And like one of the pieces of content is from an everyday beekeeper here in Indiana. I won't say his name, but salt of the earth and just makes amazing content around what this vaccine would mean to him. So we got beekeepers on the platform, which is kind of cool. And so for me, it was like, okay, without bees, we got pollination issues and we got really big issues in our food system. So it's like, why wouldn't I have bees as one of my first customers per se? So that's been pretty cool. And then a couple of the other ones, we're working with the Indiana Farm Bureau, which is exciting. And again, that's just to kind of like really get more of some of the farmers' perspective on board. And then another is a major media outlet, and then another is a leading Midwestern food chain. So I wanted diversity around these different pilots for us to learn.
Makes a lot of sense. It will be fun to see how it evolves. And I would assume if I'm a brand or I'm an organization, I'm logging in and the content is not there, it's a beekeeper story. You didn't likely have bee content just idle on the platform. Yeah. There's a demand cycle. So if you say, hey, I need content for X, Y, or Z, that's what Make Hay can make possible as well.
We sent out a brief just for fun, just to keep the farmers engaged and sticky. We sent out a brief last Friday at 3:15 saying, show and tell us one of the most important pieces of machinery or equipment on your farm.
Oh, you're speaking my love language, Scott.
Within 4 hours, we got back 5 films. 4 hours. That doesn't happen in like marketing.
Green and yellow equipment.
No. So there was, I'll just say there was Case, there was Kubota, and then there was a Switchblade, and then there was another one. And so, and you can cut that if we're not supposed to name any brand names. But anyhow, there's 4 amazing films around different pieces of machinery, but they were high quality. And again, 4 to 6 hours, like that doesn't happen. It's really hard to get that type of quality in that amount of time. So, but just to have that sort of content. And then we sent out another one 2 days ago around, talk to us about cover crops or different regen ag practices. We got back 5 different videos within 24 hours, all around like different aspects of it. So yeah, we're just doing that just to create some content, because what do we do with that content? We can go to that manufacturer, that equipment, and say, hey, we got farmers on our platform that love your product. Like, do you want to engage with them or not?
That's right. It's incredible. What's next? What's ahead for Make Hay?
We're early, right? So now that we're product ready and we have some customers, we're going to start accelerating some of the larger conversations that we have now that we feel confident around our software and what we're building. There is still an awareness drive that needs to happen, right? So doing things like this, and thank you again, Mitch, for having me on board. The more folks that we can get understanding what we're trying to do, the bigger impact we can have on agriculture at large. So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, we're just focused on making this thing something that people want and will love.
Where can people find more?
GoMakeHay.com. Check us out, www.GoMakeHay.com. Shoot us a note, sign up. It's real clear on how to use this platform. Reach out to me, send me a note, Scott@GoMakeHay.com. We'd love to talk to you.
Incredible. He is Scott Nelson, CEO of Make Hay. Scott, great to have you on Ag Bioscience.
Thank you so much, Mitch. Appreciate it.
And thank you for joining us on Ag Bioscience. You can get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget, you can always learn more online at agrinovisindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovis team, I'm Mitch Frazier, saying thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovis Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovisindiana.com.